Good morning, everyone. You are welcome to our service this morning on this beautiful autumn morning. Welcome to those listening to us through our recordings page on our website, and welcome to all of you who are joining us via our webcam. We have quite the community joining us via the webcam, and you are most welcome. My name is Gavin Byrne. I am a member of this congregation, and I'm also a ministry student on placement here with the Unitarian College. We gather here, believers in the goodness of humanity, seeking to connect to the sacred thread that connects us to each other and to all of creation. We come with our doubts as well as our faith that there is something greater than ourselves. You are welcome here. Love is the doctrine of this church, and the search for truth is our sacrament. This is a place where you are free to search for truth and meaning. We honor the wisdom of prophets, of teachers, of artists and poets who have spoken to us in the past and who speak to us today. And our hearts are open to those yet to speak and yet to act. We listen to the voice of nature who calls us into closer union with creation, which is paradise, a gift to humanity. Let love always guide our thoughts and actions. So now please join with the choir in the refrain as we sing the Beatitudes.
For justice, for they shall have. We now light our chalice, which is lit everywhere Unitarians gather in prayer, in celebration, in searching, and in love. Today we send our love to Doreen and Cara, both recovering well from recent hospital stays, and today we remember with love Art Lester, who died this week. Flame of fire, spark of the universe that warmed our ancestral hearth, agent of life and death, symbol of truth and freedom, we strive to understand ourselves and our earthly home. And now this sacred space which is gifted to us is now alive with friendship, with song, with poetry, and the wisdom of many souls. And let us sing now hymn number 360, Here We Have Gathered. We pray now for peace amid horror and suffering in so many places in our world, and I want to thank Emer for bringing this prayer to us today. Let us pray. God of compassion and mercy, justice and truth, visit your children in the midst of fear, horror, starvation, and grief. Take from the hearts of those bent on violence the fury that stops at nothing and the rage that obscures all empathy. Open paths to reason, to patience, to restraint and hope. Give those who live with constant anxiety a purpose for a living. Transform the anger that propels enemies to lose their humanity in depriving others of their dignity. From this deep well of suffering and cruelty, bring living water to cleanse and to heal, and raise up agents of reconciliation that can bring a future out of the ruins of this unbearable storm of death. Amen. Now our first reading will be from Dhiren.
Good morning. I was tempted this morning to ditch this reading and come in and read you Keats' Ode to Autumn, which I happened to be reading yesterday. And if you haven't read it, dig it out and read it. Today is the day for reading it. But this is what I had chosen. It's a piece by a woman called Christina Feldman, who's co-founder of Gaia House and a guiding teacher at a place called Insight Meditation Society in Barre, Massachusetts. As we emerge from the haste and clamor of the world that surrounds us, glimpses of silence startle us into a new state of wakefulness and sense of wonder. We awaken on a winter morning to the stillness of a world lying hushed beneath a blanket of overnight snow. Silence permeates the church in the moments before the service begins. The restlessness and chatter die away to be replaced by a collective calmness and sense of reverence. The chimes of the monastery bell are heard in a silent meditation room, greeted as a call to awareness. We walk into the welcome silence of our home after a day filled with sound and busyness and feel soothed by its presence. Walking through the powerful silence of a forest, we are embraced in its stillness and learn to listen and see and feel more deeply. The moments of silence we encounter are benedictions, blessings that echo in our hearts. They invite us to be still, to listen deeply, and to be present in this world. The glimpses of silence we encounter in the world are potent intimations of the inner stillness possible for each of us. The glimpses of silence we meet remind us of a way of being in which we're deeply touched by the mystery and grandeur of life. In the midst of silence, we remember what it feels like to be truly alive, receptive, and sensitive. Silence, we come to understand, is the language of the heart. Silence is a treasure that's becoming increasingly elusive to us. We are the most affluent, successful, and powerful of all generations gone by. But we are also the busiest and perhaps the noisiest. On a cellular level, we intuitively know the richness and value of silence, yet we sadly neglect its cultivation. Bombarded by sound, information, and sensory input, we feel the effects in our hearts and bodies of being exiled from silence. We thirst for meaning, freedom, inner spaciousness, and peace. Yet too often we forget that silence is the medium for their discovery. We need silence to listen to our own heart and to touch the heart of another. The Chinese sage Lao Tzu, who lived and taught in the 6th century, reminds us, "Take time to listen to what is said without words, to obey the law too subtle to be written, to worship the unnameable, and to embrace the unformed."
Thank you, Jiren. Our story for children and young people and for those young at heart is called Thou Shalt Steal. So once upon a time, in the middle of Dublin City, there stood an old school located under a famous church. And from a young age, girls and boys would come to the school because this was the best school for miles around. Now, one day, the head teacher who ran this small school decided to teach her young students a lesson. "My dear students," she said, "we are running out of money, and we might have to close the school very soon. I can think of only one thing that will keep our school from closing." So the students drew close with eyes wide. They loved being in the school and would do anything to keep it open. The teacher said, "Our city is full of wealthy people with more money in their pockets than they could ever need. I want you to go into the city and follow those rich people as they walk through the crowded streets and the alleyways. And when no one is looking, only when no one is looking, you must steal their purses from them. That way, we'll have enough money to keep our school alive." "But teacher," the student said in disbelief, "you have taught us that it is wrong to take anything that doesn't belong to us." "Yes, indeed I have," their beloved teacher replied. "It would be wrong to steal if it were not absolutely necessary. And remember, you must not be seen. If anyone sees you, you mustn't steal. Do you understand?" So the boys and girls looked nervously from one to the other. Had their teacher gone crazy? Her eyes shone with intensity such as they had never seen before. "Yes, teacher," they replied. "Good. Now go and remember you must not be seen." So the boys and girls got up and quietly began to file out of the school building. And the old teacher rose slowly and watched them go. But when she turned back inside, she saw that one student was still standing quietly in the corner of the room. "Why did you not go with the others?" she asked the boy. "Do you not want to help save our school?" "I do, miss," said the boy quietly. "But you said that we had to steal without being seen." "I know there is no place on earth that I would not be seen, for I would always see myself." "Excellent," exclaimed the teacher. That is just the lesson that I hoped my students would learn, but you were the only one to see it. Quick, run and tell your friends to return to the school before they get us all into trouble. So the boy ran and got his friends, who were nervously gathered just over at the green, and they were trying to decide, how are they going to do this? So when they returned, the teacher told them the words had spoken to her, and they all understood the lesson. No matter what we do, we always have a part of ourselves that is quietly watching and that knows right from wrong and can guide us if only we would listen. And its name is conscience. Thank you. So let us sing now hymn number 134, Our World is One World.
Now, our second reading is from Josh and Mark, who will bring us on a short spoken word piece called Silence.
So here's the thing about silence. It both exists and doesn't exist. All the sound of life outside our heads. In those moments, when all of that feels silent, just as quickly it's gone. Existing and then not existing. So it is with us. And that's why I like even the smallest glimpse of silence. It affects me. It generates me. So go find a little silence as you can.
Continuing with silence and reflection. This morning, I'd like to bring you some words from Theodore Parker, who was a Unitarian minister and social activist. And using his words, let us try going on a journey to see if we can take a glimpse of what may be present in us all. I invite you to close your eyes, sit upright in your pew, place yourself firmly and comfortably in your space, begin with your breath, Nothing else is going on right now, just your breath. And as thoughts arise and disturb your attention, return to your breath as if nothing else is happening in the world. May I breathe into my experience the gift of care shown to each blade of grass that is there in any flower as a beacon in a hedgerow. May I breathe into beauty the stars above my head, the ground beneath my feet, that beauty in the heart of me, in the heart of everyone. Here, I can acknowledge justice, challenge harms into goodness, removing anything with darkness in its motion. May I imbibe such unbounded love that a world fairer holds, that each error bequeaths a deeper love to meet me even as I fail a thousand times. Thank you for the voice in my heart, that spirit of life in all, that withholds without my thought follies, inadequacies, and wrong thinking, yet somehow co-creates holy, noble truths in my heart. Do you find moments of silence, stillness, and simplicity in your life? How crowded does your mind get with thoughts? What distracts you most in your day? And how often do those thoughts shape the way you act or react? For me, my mind often races. It fills with worries, with ideas, with half-finished to-do lists. And sometimes it's overwhelming. And that's when I pause. I take a breath, a break from my churn of thoughts, and I make a conscious choice. I meditate. So today I want to share with you why I believe meditation is a gift worth bringing and practicing in your lives. Much of the time, we don't really choose how we react. We're often conditioned. Someone pushes us, we push back. Someone disagrees with me or insults me, I snap. As a child, when a bully hit me, I thought I had no choice but to hit back. But in truth, we always do have a choice. And meditation helps us notice what is happening inside us before we lash out. Christian Meditation Ireland have a wonderful online resource. And they say that meditation develops our capacity for attention, to be in the present moment, to notice how a situation is affecting us emotionally, and to become less defensive and reactive and more responsive. Even something simple as taking a deep breath can make all the difference. Breathing slowly calms the body, slows the heart, and gives us a few extra moments to decide, how will I respond? Our fears, our worries, our desires, these are the background noises of our lives. And they rise and they fall like waves, pulling us in different directions. You know that moment when you think, I should have handled that differently, or I shouldn't have said that. Meditation creates a pause between the wave and the action. It allows us to see more clearly and to respond with perhaps wisdom rather than habit. Are we always destined to react out of anger, out of prejudice, or fear? If so, then the cycle of you hurt me, I hurt you harder will never end. And I'm thinking, if you terrorize my people, what will I do with the anger, resentment, and hatred you have drawn forth from my children? But meditation is not about suppressing thoughts. It's about loosening their grip. And with practice, we begin to sense what some traditions call a sacred thread. That deep connection between ourselves, one another, creation, and the divine, however we understand it. Meister Eckhart was a Christian mystic and suspected heretic. And he encouraged his followers to remove all that was transient and unimportant so that we might live our lives from the perspective of the indwelling presence of God in the individual soul. And he said this was where our dignity and true selves dwelt. He said, within all of us is a divine treasure, and if we hope to discover it, we need to go deep into the heart of who we are. There is a notion that we will see all of life from the perspective of who we are at the deepest level of our being. There's a wonderful Buddhist tale about a young monk who came running to his master following a long, long meditation session. "Master, master, I see angels when I meditate." The master held his peaceful stance and said, "Just focus on your breathing and the angels will go away." Breath is enough. It is life itself. The Jewish tradition says that a person becomes person at the first breath. In Genesis, it is God's breath that creates life. In Islam, the breath of God refers to the divine spirit, the Ruah, that Allah breathes into creation. Breath is a reminder that being alive is itself sacred. Breath is life, natural, unforced, without judgment. And it roots us in the present moment. Breath is a reminder that being alive is sacred, natural, unforced, and without judgment. Now, meditation has never really been about inner calm. Now, it has shaped history. Gandhi practiced it daily, and his example influenced Martin Luther King Jr., the Dalai Lama, and many, many others. King's dream of a beloved community, which we talk about here quite a lot. What is beloved community? A society built on justice and reconciliation. That was grounded first in inner peace and compassion. Marcus Aurelius, that Stoic philosopher from many, many centuries ago, said, "Very little is needed to make you happy. It is all within yourself, in your way of thinking." And meditation helps us discover that inward source of goodness. Original goodness, not original sin. Now, the practice of meditation is quite simple. We sit comfortably with feet on the ground. We maybe close our eyes. We focus on our breathing. And when thoughts intrude, as they always will, we return to our breath. It's as simple and perhaps complicated as that. You could use a phrase, "I breathe in all that is good, I breathe out all that harms." You can meditate in silence or with gentle sounds of nature. Thich Nhat Hanh suggests you can practice this while cooking or walking. We can do it as we commute or sit quietly in church. And when you start, you may wonder, I'm after wasting these 5, 10, 15 minutes. Nothing is happening. There are no angels, thankfully, dancing, hopefully. But over time, you will notice the change, not in grand visions, but in the everyday calm and moments of peace, in a softer response to life. Now, at this stage, it's probably a good idea to distinguish between mindfulness and meditation. So very briefly, mindfulness is a state of being. It refers to being fully present, aware of what's happening in and around you without judgment. And then meditation is the training that cultivates mindfulness. There's a book called Mindfulness by Mark Williams and Danny Penman, and it's often referred to on podcasts, and it's written about a lot. Now, they say that there are deep wellsprings of peace and contentment inside us all, no matter how trapped or distraught we might feel. And these wellsprings are just waiting to be liberated from the cage of our frantic way of life. Now, having said that, there are 1,050 books on mindfulness available on the ESIN website right now. Now, choosing one may very well bring you unnecessary stress that you want to avoid. So I don't really bother with any of them, except perhaps Thich Nhat Hanh's book, The Miracle of Mindfulness, which is a classic, a small book that was written 50 years ago. And that would be the source text of many on mindfulness. So if there was one small book, Thich Nhat Hanh. For our reflection and silent time, we listened to Mark and Josh, and then I read from Theodore Parker. I've mentioned Theodore Parker a couple of times here before. He was a 19th century New England Unitarian, often getting into trouble with polite society because he poked the conscience of his well-to-do community. And he gave me a manifesto which I have shared with you. It is not to speak of religion that I have not experienced myself. Now, Parker believed that everyone has an intuitive understanding of the sacred. Our conscience, he says, is a sacred guide which leads us to act justly. He was deeply committed to social justice, which he says comes naturally to all of us. It doesn't come from scripture or religious dogma, but inside us all. Freedom, reason, conscience, perhaps our own Unitarian Holy Trinity. May I breathe into my experience the gift of care shown to each blade of grass. May I breathe into beauty the stars above my head, the ground beneath my feet, the beauty in the heart of me. Parker is bringing us on a journey from the realities beneath my feet to the center of my being, and then lifts us up to the stars above in the heavens. He is bringing us on a journey through the sacred thread. Parker sees in a blade of grass and the human heart the same essence as the stars in the heavens. And meditation invites us on the same journey. Finally, meditation may not bring you enlightenment. It is not a magic formula to cure all our ills, but it will help to calm our minds and give us moments of peace. And a mind that finds peace, if only for a few moments, will seek it out again. And if meditation does not bring you that peace I speak of, take Emerson's advice. Finish each day and be done with it. You've done what you could. Some blunders and absurdities, no doubt, crept in. Forget them as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a new day. Begin it well and serenely, and with too high a spirit to be encumbered by your old nonsense. So I invite you to seek silence, stillness, and peace within yourself first. Then mirror that back to the world, and the world will slowly respond. Meditation is for me a gift without cost or sacrifice, and I recommend it to you today. Amen. Now let us sing hymn number 123, Spirit of Life. And after we sing, we will have the collection. Now we'll have our notices, and firstly, Dennis, happy birthday. Firstly, I'd like to thank everyone who contributed to today's service. A special thank you to choir. Thank you. So the book club is reading the Aspern Papers by Henry James this month. I think that's correct. And they're going to gather in the vestry this Wednesday, the 24th of September at 7 o'clock. Please talk to Alison for more details. We had culture night on Friday night. We had hundreds of visitors to the church, so just thank you to everyone who volunteered and indeed visited the church. And a special thank you to our amazing performers who shared their gifts with such generosity. So thank you. Our Harvest Thanksgiving lunch will be on Sunday, the 5th of October, directly after our Harvest service. All are invited to share food and enjoy company and conversation. And diners are asked to make a small donation, which will be sent to Christian Aid. Volunteers are needed, I think, to provide food, to prepare the room downstairs, and of course to serve and to clean up. Please speak to Bridget today. Our second history walk with Rory is going to take place directly after this service. The theme of the walk is A Trip on the Tram, a short Lewis journey to Ranelagh Lewis Station, followed by a walk through Ranelagh Village and across to Upper Rathmines Road, the very best part of town. So that's directly after the service. Our Seeking Paradise reading group will begin this Thursday, the 25th, and every Thursday until the 4th of December. You're not going to make all of the meetings, and that's fine. I have copies of the first chapter for those who are participating. I've also emailed people with the chapter as well. And if you haven't got it, please speak to me. The books are ordered and they're on their way. So if you have any questions, please talk to me after. The group is full at the moment. Now, we are holding our membership service on the 16th of November this year. So if you've been coming to this church for over a year and wish to enter your name into the membership book, please speak to me or Bridget. Now, at that service on the 16th, we will formally welcome you as members of this church. And all we ask of members is that you contribute something of yourself to the life of this community. You might offer to read, you might volunteer to be a welcomer, you might offer your time to prepare the hall downstairs for refreshments after services, you might sing in the choir, and you might put a few bob on the plate, Rory, just need to mention that. And you also might get involved in some new initiatives that may emerge in our community over the coming year. So that's the membership book. Now, to become a voting member, and I hope I've said this clearly, this is something you commit to annually, to be a voting member. You become a member of the church, you sign the book for life, if you wish, but to be a voting member, you have to do it annually, you renew that annually. So it's something we'll be talking about later on in the year as we come towards the end of the year. If you have any questions about that, Rory. Okay. I think that's our notices. So let us sing our final hymn now, number 331, Life is the Greatest Gift of All.
May we take a moment each day to be present to ourselves and the created world. The bees collecting the ingredients for nourishment, the ancient stones that line the shore, the leaves of grass and weeds on the edges of the pathway, who, despite our frowns, will grow wherever they will. Let us attend to the details of each element of our surroundings of which we are a part. May we see fully all that is in front and behind, and seek to understand what is beneath and within. Amen.